Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. It's a special afternoon edition here on a Thursday. I'm in South Florida, and I'm very excited because we've got a fantastic guest on today. I watched this film the other night, and I really, really enjoyed it. Today on the show, we have Mr. Chris Coppola. Or it might be Coppola. I may be pronouncing that wrong. Chris, how are you? I hope I didn't call your name up.
You know what? You can pronounce it any way you want, but Coppola, and even in some parts of New York, people say Coppola. So it's just it's a smorgasbord of my name.
Nice. Now, Chris, I watched this the other night. Let's talk a little bit about you first. You're in Los Angeles, of course, because that's where the action is. Did you grow up out there? Or what was the story? What's Chris's story?
You know what? I didn't. I was born in Brooklyn, and my dad started getting successful, and so we moved out to California right around 7-8, right in that area. So I moved from Brooklyn to Laguna Beach, California, if you can imagine that move.
Wow.
And then I was, I've been out in California for most of my life, went out to school here. And then I found acting about my last year in college. I registered for what I thought was a class that would be like, reviewing movies and writing reports on them. And instead it was like, it was acting 101 basically. I was like, this isn't for me. And the professor said, listen, why don't you memorize this monologue and come back next week. And if you like it, great. You can stay. If you don't, I'll get you out of here. And so I came back the next week and I was horrible, but I absolutely loved it. And it just worked out really great. I mean, had I found, acting earlier in my collegiate world, I would have probably majored in it, but I didn't. And so I ended up finishing the year and I did a couple of plays. Like I jumped right in and just sort of fell in love with it. And then I moved to San Francisco, got a job. Weirdly enough, I lucked out. I made a plaster Paris of my foot and I mailed it to George Lucas. And with it came a letter that said, if you accept this letter, I will want to bet with my mom that I could get my foot into the door of this business.
Nice.
And so Lucas was so impressed. Like the human resources department calls me and they're like, so George Lucas wants to meet you. He never wants to do that. So, this 24-year-old kid got to meet Lucas, and he's like, that's the most interesting way anyone's tried to get my attention. What do you want to do? Are you, he assumed I was a Star Wars geek or something. And
right.
I just want to learn how to make movies while I'm here studying acting in the city. And he said, good, man. So, I sort of was learning behind the scenes and studying, in the city at night. And then I found my way, worked there for a few years, and then I found my way back to L.A. And, while I was there, I made some relationships with the people and actually helped develop the movie Spawn. Wasn't going to be able to work on the some of the behind the scenes because I just wasn't in any of those unions. So because it was going to be a big movie. So I auditioned and got a part, and that's kind of what preempted me to get to L.A., and then I got to LA and I had a little part in the movie and I just really, there's so much luck involved in this, man. There's so many talented people I know that are super talented, but there's just something about the luck that they're missing. And it's nothing that they've done. It's nothing personal. It's just, it really is right place, right time. And, I just got here and I got lucky and, I started working in commercials, you know, in front of the camera, and that afforded me the opportunity to just, you know, not wait tables or deliver stuff. I just became I just studied acting like 24/7, and right. And was able to just really immerse myself in it. And that's kind of, you know, that's where I was really lucky. I mean, some people think of the luck in this business as, you know, becoming a movie star or you know, getting on a TV series. And those things are great, of course, and that's everyone's, you know, big goal. But at the end of the day, just being a working actor is kind of a major accomplishment. And you know,
nice.
I did that, like, yeah, it's really great, man. It affords you the opportunity to just, you know, work on your stuff, man, and be ready to take advantage of more opportunities. So that's kind of how it's been, and it's been lucky. You know, I've been, knock on wood, I've been doing this for 20 years, and it's been really great. And I've had some, you know, really close chances, you know, stuff that's fell through my fingers, and also stuff that I've crushed and been really been proud to be a part of. And you know, the next step for my career is just really kind of getting out there and being known. That's why I'm really grateful that I'm doing this with you guys, and just, you know, just getting out there and people knowing my name and synonymous with some funny or good stuff.
No, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. You know, and you bring up a couple of really good points that people that I know that are successful in what they're doing, especially in the creative field, is they got to learn their business. You got to learn your craft, man. And you got to kind of make it your life. I'm not in the entertainment business. I'm a painter. I hang out. All of my friends are either making movies or in bands. But, you know, I see them, and I get a lot of younger people ask me. They're like, you know, how can I get to that point and what? And I'm like, well,
right.
You got to love it even when you hate it, man.
I help people with acting too, right? I coach some people. And, you know, I always tell people, my acting teacher told me this. If you could wake up every day and not love this, go do something else, because there's a lot of easier ways to make money on this planet. Mm-hmm. But if you love this, you know, hey, go for it. It's the most incredible thing to try to be an actor. And it's one of the few art forms, you know, you bring up painting and you bring up music, but like acting is the only one that you can't do by yourself. You know, you can lock yourself
right.
You talk to any great guitarist, and they'll tell you for 5 years of their life, they were locked in their bedroom going nuts with their guitar and trying to copy Led Zeppelin and trying to copy the whoever that was someone that they looked up to. And same with painting, right? You could lock yourself in a studio and paint and draw. But acting, and there's this new generation. You're talking about this sort of new generation that wants to come up. It's like, at the end of the day, art is still art. Like, guitar is still guitar. Painting is still painting. Acting is still acting. Like, the thing about acting that makes it so unique is you have to do it with an audience. You need the
right.
audience. You need to feel that. Like, that's part of the growth that happens with an actor is feeling that sense of pressure. And it's one of the few art forms where the pressure helps you learn it. So it's an interesting thing, but it's interesting as you go along here and you see it, people are trying to speed up the process, and there is no speeding it up. It's still the exact same.
Yeah. And and I don't know if it's these, the shows, you know, like in entertainment, you know, the American Idols and stuff, where it's kind of these, I call them shortcut shows but even a lot of those folks, I mean, there's a few that get picked and they're still around a couple years later.
Oh, for sure.
But the majority
for sure,
of them
yeah.
aren't, you know? Even
no,
shows,
of course not.
You know?
Of course not. And, you know, here's the thing about acting that's so funny, right? Because this is what makes people think they can do it or that it's easy. Let's say that it's easy.
Right.
You know, you watch a movie and you think, oh, well, I can laugh like that. Oh, I've cried like that. I've felt like I can walk and carry that stuff. I can
right.
throw a knife or swing an axe like that. I can be scary like that. I can do all those things, and you can, right? But can you do it when you've memorized lines? when you've memorized blocking, people are forgetting that a director has told you to go over to the chair and touch the chair, then grab the knife, then walk across the room, then stab the girl, then run out the room. You know what I mean? There's a lot of moving parts in there that have nothing to do with acting, right? There's just like, it's like technical stuff. Make sure your face is seen by the camera. You feel that light on your face? Yeah, don't lose that. We need to see you. And so there's all these other things. And then on top of all that, you throw in nerves, right? There's 25 crew members watching you.
Right.
And so, you know, so there's all those added factors are what make it so hard.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books, like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
Well, it's amazing, and you know, it just goes to show. I have a few friends that are in the voice acting game, and you've done some of that. I am blown away with that because I mean, you have to express all this emotion and whatever, and get the scene across just from your voice, you know. And it's not singing a song, and I'm not putting that down, but I'm just saying, how does that work? I mean, you've read the script and whatnot. Do you go in? Is like in movies we see, you know, a guy in a booth looking at a gal looking at a screen, and then do you just fill in, or is there not even a screen sometimes?
Well, you know, it depends. If you're doing something like a kid's cartoon, I was a reoccurring character on a kid's, anyone who has a kid knows who Doc McStuffins is, people who don't.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a cartoon and it's for ages 4 to 6 or 3 to 6. And, you know, with that, you just go in and you read your lines. The other actors are not there. Usually, you know, you don't read a whole scene. You just literally do it line by line.
Wow.
And you may get some notes like angrier, sadder, funnier, and then you just sort of adjust. So that's kind of inorganic in a way. With the bigger stuff, like movies I've done, like Polar Express and Beowulf were actually mocap movies. And I don't know if you're familiar with mocap, but it's motion capture acting.
So, stuff, right?
Yeah, it's like the little glow dots on you, and you're in sort of a wetsuit kind of material, and it's actually fantastic. I mean, I love motion capture acting because it's kind of, you know, you're just in a room. You're in this really sterile room, and there's these infrared lights firing on you. But it's almost like back to basic acting, like in an acting class, because you're told, okay, there's a 25-foot wall in front of you. Now you've got to get over that wall, and on the other side is a dragon, and you've got to battle the dragon, and he's going to be those tennis balls in front of you. And so it really comes back down to almost like when you were a kid, man, and you were playing cowboys and someone was the Indian or the bank robber, and you were going to run around and you were going to, you know, you're just letting your imagination go. And, you know, at the end of the day, I believe in all kinds of studying for acting. You know, I've done it all from Shakespearean to Commedia dell'arte, Italian clowning to the method to all kinds of stuff, improv. But at the end of the day, imagination is a really key component to you just believing what you're doing.
Boy, it's amazing. And it doesn't surprise me that you have that type of imagination, especially after hearing the story of the plaster foot. That is amazing, my friend. That is awesome. Who would have thought?
Yeah, I don't even know where I came up with that one. I think I was just bored. And I was, you know, lonely in San Francisco, and I just, the guy, you know, it was like, you know, you're making up your resume, you're out of college, you got nothing on it. And I just was like, he's like, come up with something clever, you know, just like come up with something really creative. And yeah, I mean, the whole idea of the foot and stuff is like, clearly I shouldn't be doing anything non-creative. You know, when you see that guy send a foot to you, you should clearly be finding him a good place where he can use his imagination.
That's awesome. That is so great. Now, we're here to talk. It's fascinating, man. I could spend an hour just talking about your experiences. But we have to, otherwise I won't get a check. No, it's I'm kidding, of course. we're here to talk about this new movie that you're in.
Yeah.
And this is Acts of Desperation. Now, this was filmed last year, but it just got released earlier this month, right?
It's absolutely true, yeah.
Well, that's amazing. You know, a lot of people outside the entertainment business really, I don't think, understand that. They figure, you know, oh, they filmed this last week, and, you know, now it's released this week. That's not at all how this works. You know, I have actor friends that have, oh, yeah, and they can't really talk about it because, you know, you have to build the you know, sometimes there's big clauses involved and whatnot. But
for sure.
So you know, there's all this big process of getting it out and whatnot. Now, you play Stu in the film Acts of Desperation, which I watched the other night, me and my girlfriend Danny. And I should say, I got to get used to saying this now, my fiancé, Danny.
Oh, and, nice. Congratulations, man.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you. Yeah,
life is about to get funky for you, sir.
Well, I don't know. You know, we've been together 6 years, and, you know, her mother kept – we'd go to family dinner, and there was a lot of looking down the nose, you know, like, come on, kid. Get it together.
Get on the horse,
buddy. You guys bought
buddy.
A house already. Oh, man, I'm funny. We went over there the other night for a little cocktail party, and every conversation – I don't know how many times – I clocked it. I think there was – 13 times she was bringing up children, like babies and stuff. I'm like, man, let's get to the wedding first.
Yeah. You know, my suggestions is when people get married is be married first. Like, do something as a married couple first. Like, you know, go to Europe or travel across the country or just do some stuff hanging out. And I'm the same as you, man. I was with my girl for 8 years before we married. So, you know, I knew what I was getting into. But it was really nice to be married first before we added the special sauce to the family and got ourselves a child.
Oh man, I'm telling you, we got a dog a year ago, and I didn't know what a big deal that was going to be.
You know? Oh yeah, that's a big deal. Odor alone is a big deal. Yeah, like the whole house changes. The whole house changes.
Oh,
big
man.
Or little dogs.
About 37 pounds. She just got weighed at the
okay.
vet, and yeah, so not too
go.
Big, but I haven't trained her to put her toys back in the toy box yet.
That's a hard one.
Yeah, I don't know if it's gonna happen.
Yeah,
I just wondered if
Milan
never
covered that one. Yeah,
no, he did it. Oh man, we first got her. She was a rescue. I thought we were gonna have to call Caesar Milan. I'm looking online. I'm like, man, what's his agent? How much is this gonna cost?
That's a whole nother thing. Yeah, you rescued a dog for nothing, and you spent $500 on trainers.
Exactly. To get going, yeah, I'm telling.
Right,
but
you got to get her a psychologist because she was, you know, put in a closet for a year of her life, so she needs to talk it out.
Exactly. Oh man, it's crazy. I'm telling you, it's crazy. We
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime. And treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit makingcancerhistory.com.
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year I was on holiday with my girlfriend Danny. We were at Disney World and having a great time. It's the happiest place on earth. And I dropped my vape, just like a Butterfingers, and it was a pain in the neck. They just don't have anything there to replace it and whatnot. So we had to drive 45 minutes each way to get a new one. And, you know, that's an hour and a half out of our day, man. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened because if I would have had this fantastic new product, the C-Ring. It's very, very cool. What it is it attaches to your vape, designed to protect your investment with comfort, flexibility while doing your day-to-day activity. What it does is it goes in there, you put your finger in there, and you hold it, and you're not dropping your vape, breaking it and whatnot. It's very, very cool, and if you need both hands, they have a lanyard you can hook to, and it's awesome. It's awesome. The C-Ring, you can find out more about it and pick one up at their website, www.thecring.com. Again, that's www.thecring.com. Be smart, be like me, get a C-Ring if you're a vapor. Very, very good. Oh, and hey, holidays are coming up, man. This is a very cool gift for somebody. If you have somebody on your shopping list that vapes like I do, get them a C-Ring. Thecring.com.
But back to the film, everybody's like, yeah, we know, Jamie. We hear about the dog all the time. The film, I liked this film. One of the things I liked about this film is, and I don't want to give too much away because I want people to watch it, but you have a couple different story arcs in this, and they just ratchet up through the movie, and you're like, are these going to converge? Well, they got to meet, man. Or, you know, what's... And I love the anticipation of that building kind of climax throughout it, and it was very gritty, but at the same time, and especially you, brought an element of comedy to it, you know, and I thought that was cool.
Yeah, you know, the movie, I mean, you know, this particular group that put it together, they've sent me projects before, and, you know, I'm friendly with them, and so there's really the guy who plays Vince, the guy who plays my partner, Floyd, Vince Lozano, is a good friend of mine, and we've worked together for years, and you know, he sent me stuff over the years. I'm like, you know, no, it's not my style. And then he sent me this one. And just sometimes, you know, maybe once or twice a year, I hit on something when I read it and I know exactly what to do. And in a really good way, you know, actors often talk about how a role will make them scared. And that is a good reason, you know, to do something. But there's also that flip side of like, oh my God, I know exactly where this character is. I know who he is, and it just sort of locked. And on top of that, I really just liked the story. It was, you know, it was a really easy read, and I just jumped right in. And at the time, I was doing a television show, so I was just hoping that we can make everything work out in terms of time. And so I kind of shot it at this. I filmed Acts of Desperation the same time I was making a TV show called Too Old to Die Young. And so as those were sort of, it was great to be working on those at the same time, because they were just kind of like these really sort of demented human beings. Axe just, I just loved Axe. I mean, I immediately grew to every scene. I just jumped right in, man. So I said yes, like within 2 hours of reading it. And, you know, we were just working on schedules and stuff. And that was it. But I was in. I liked it.
Well, that's fantastic. I enjoyed it, and it is out. People, I want you to go see it. It's on demand, all over the place and whatnot, and you can check that out. And man, you can see Chris in a lot of stuff on Amazon Prime Video. He's Polar Express, Beowulf, like we mentioned. Beowulf's a great movie. I liked that movie. That was a fantastic.
Yeah,
Beowulf was.
It was a weird response. You know, I think with the motion capture world, they for a while there, they were trying to make us all look so real, right? The characters. And then at a point it was like, well, if you want them to look real, why don't we just use ourselves?
Right.
You know, it was like, where are you going with this in terms of the technology? Cause are you just trying to trick everybody? And I think at a point they stopped using that technology to like try to, I don't know, just try to make it look more and more real. And I also think that with age, you know, with time, I think we've all sort of adjusted to how those humans look, right, in motion capture. So I think they're more palatable now. So I think Beowulf is getting a little better with age.
Oh yeah. Well, I remember slugging through Gilgamesh and whatnot in college, and
right.
My first there was a girl I was dating brought it over, and I was like, oh, God, really? This is going to be, you know, flashback.
Right. You know, listen, man, I'm not famous, at, you know, by any stretch. I get recognized maybe once or twice a year, but this one time when they were still finishing Beowulf, I went to a Starbucks, and it happened to be right by where I had filmed, right? And so I'm in line, and all of a sudden, like, six guys start staring at me, and I'm like, huh, okay. So I'm waiting, you know, and they're really staring at me. And I'm like, okay, these guys must have recognized me from something. And so I go, you know, I make my order and I go over, you know, waiting for my drink. And they're slowly walking toward me. It's a little creepy. And they're kind of nerdy looking dudes. And I'm like, what's going on here? And they're like, excuse me, you're Chris, right? And I said, yeah. And they're like, we're animating you right now. And we're working on you across the street. So I'm all back way, guys are like looking at me so weird, right? And they're like, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, check it out. And they're like, they were like looking at me like they were a monkey seeing the first man for the first time. It was hysterical. They were like looking
That's
under
hilarious.
My ears, you know, looking behind me. I mean, it was so funny. So funny. I'm like, come in the office if you want to do this, guys.
Right.
Anyway.
That's
anyway.
Awesome.
Sorry, I'm getting
and see, folks,
here.
These are the things that happen when you move to Hollywood.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Now, you had mentioned working on Too Old to Die Young. That's yet to come out, right? They're still finishing that up. And
I don't know if you saw it yesterday, but the trailer dropped yesterday, and it's pretty amazing. It's amazing. Yeah, the trailer looks phenomenal, and honestly, because I know what I've done in it, I've told my wife, I'm not sure how I fit in this thing. I don't remember doing any remotely close to this. I mean, all my stuff was way weirder than this. This looks cool.
Right. Oh, man. Well, the cool thing, I'll definitely check it out, and ladies and gentlemen, I'll be posting it, so I'll post that trailer. I'll find it and post it on my blog and social media and whatnot after the show, because I can't wait to see it. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Right now at Sprint, get any next generation Samsung Galaxy phone and get the new Galaxy S10e to use on us with Sprint Flex Lease. The Galaxy S10e has a pro-grade camera for effortless pro-quality images. Visit a local Sprint store, sprint.com/Samsung, or call 800-SPRINT-1. Galaxy S10e, $31.25 per month, second phone $0 per month after $31.25 per month credit. Apply within 2 bills. Requires 2 new lines and 18-month leases. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Excludes tax, subject to credit, $30 activation fee and restrictions. Offer and coverage not everywhere.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beatty, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Roxgear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
Hey folks, located in the hills of Tennessee, L'Apothecary Unique offers all-natural, organic, gluten-free skincare, hair care products, perfumed oils, medicinal salves, makeup, incense, and aromatherapy items, bath salts, and even much more, including something special for the fellows, like beard and mustache balm, astringent, and aftershave. Each item is made to order just for you. So check out LapothecaryUnique.com, spelled L'ApothecaryUnique. L'ApothecaryUnique.com.
Well, that's cool, man. So you've got stuff going all the time. You always hear about the feast, the famine or feast, feast or famine. I got that reversed. In acting, professional acting and whatnot. But you've been doing this long enough. You seem to can visualize the long game and just keep things happening and have scripts coming in all the time and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, the feast and famine thing goes for, with the exception of people who are on a TV series or who are, or were on one for 8 years and have accrued so much money that they're just chilling. You know, for the rest of us, it is a little bit like that. And, you know, yeah, you're always hustling for the next thing. And, you know, it's part of the game. I think that's kind of like when, you know, listen, that's kind of what makes people leave. You know, that's what kind of makes people give up. And, you know, the good news is like, you know, obviously people know the actors get paid through residuals. And so if you've been doing this and you're lucky enough to do it as long as I have, you know, you built up a revenue stream. So, you know, you're getting checks. You know, sometimes they're 2 cents, but sometimes they're 200, and sometimes they're 3,000, and sometimes they're 25 bucks. And so you go to the mail every day with an optimism and hope that there's some good money in there and that it'll, you know, take care of things. And so things end up working out at the end of the day, but yeah, I've got some things going on and, you know, I'm just finished writing my own series that, you know, which is, which is great, but it's also, you know, listen, that's just as hard as pushing your acting career. You know, it's like, yeah, again, it's all about timing. You know, you're getting that in the right, you know, the right hands. Now I have relationships, so that's good. And I'm already in the business, so that's good. And I know some of the right people, so that's good. But none of that's a guarantee. You know, that's what this business is, unfortunately. My father compared the entertainment industry to the Wild West. He's like, you guys are nuts. You guys are just, you know, everyone's got a six shooter on their hip and they're just doing their thing.
Well, you know, and it is true. And you have to, you know, the great thing about is you've got that bell curve, that learning experience down where it's not only knowing the right people, but how to approach different people about different projects and whatnot.
Sorry to interrupt you. I always tell people, man, it's like when you come here and you build relationships, right? And you make connections, right? That's what everyone talks about, the connections. You know, it's like planting a seed, and you honestly have to let that seed grow, and that tree or that bush may not bear fruit for 10 years for you. But, you know, 10 years down the line, you run into that guy or that girl, and they're like, hey, what are you doing? You want to do this thing and this thing? And all of a sudden, you're finding yourself in good situations. I mean, that's how Too Old to Die Young happened. I mean, I had read for the casting people who cast me in Diary of a Wimpy Kid were casting Too Old to Die Young. And they weren't even looking for my type, right? You know, I tend to play the husky gentleman to the left. And, you know, all the dudes that were in Too Old to Die Young are kind of, you know, chiseled and, you know, your stereotypical looking detective. And I think that those girls that cast Wimpy Kid knew what a good actor I was. And they were like, you know, let's throw Chris into this and just see what happens. And because of that relationship, you know, I trust those girls, those casting people. And so that was one of those auditions where I was like, oh my God, I get it. I knew the character. Mm-hmm. It was like, I knew it right away. I did it. And then next thing I know, 2 weeks later, and again, because I don't read what projects are, I feel like it builds unnecessary pressure to yourself. Like, if you read that it's a project for Steven Spielberg, or you read that it's a project for, you know, I just feel like I just read the project. What's the name of it? What's the character? What's he supposed to be like? And so I went in to meet the director, and I didn't even know it was Nicholas Winding Refn. And I think that he appreciated that because I was just myself, and, you know, we were just talking, and I was just myself, and then I was in my car calling a buddy after the audition. He's like, how'd it go? And I'm like, I think it really went well. Cause I was the only guy there that looked like me. So I think he was really interested in me. And so he's like, do you know who you just read for? And I'm like, no, some Danish dude. I don't know who he is. And he's like, dude, that's Nicholas Winding Refn. He's directed Drive. I'm like, yeah. And you know, I saw that. I think I fell asleep at some point. He's like, you didn't tell him that, did you? And I'm like, no, of course not. He's like, I didn't even know he directed Drive. I just went in there and read, and we seemed to hit it off. And next thing I know, I was cast, man. So, you know, that's how that stuff bears fruit, man.
Is you're focused on the work as opposed to being focused on the situation. And
for sure.
That's a true artist, you know. That's what you're, you know, I'm sure you appreciate that. I would have, you know.
Yeah, you know, listen, man, I tell people, and like I said, I coach people for auditions, and so they'll come in here, and they'll be like, this is the biggest pilot for NBC. Oh my gosh, if I get this, I'll be making millions. I could be like the next Friends. And I'm like, okay, so you're not getting it just because you're freaking out right now. So because of my experience of that, those actors kind of taught me, you know what, don't do that. There's already pressure. You already have to memorize the lines and do the audition. So to add that to it, it's just, I don't know, it's just unnecessary nonsense. I mean, eventually you'll know if it's, eventually if it's a big deal. I mean, I knew when I walked on the Too Old to Die set, it was a big deal, you know. And I, as I was filming that and filming Acts of Desperation, which were a bunch of friends I knew, I was like, right. Why don't I just be as relaxed as I am with my friends as I am on Too Old to Die Young, which is what I was. And so, you know, my relationship with Miles Teller was really easy. My relationship with Nick was really easy because I was already working with friends. So I was just chill. And that's kind of how I approach stuff, you know, because, you know, at the end of the day, man, you're just there to do a job. And so why add all the weirdness
to it? Absolutely. And that's something, you know, when I talk to young people in my gig, you know, I always tell them, I'm like, don't spend that money until that check is in the bank and cleared. you know.
Oh, for sure.
You know, people are, you know, I'm getting this big break. I'm gonna buy this and I'm gonna do that. And I'm like, as soon as you start doing that, I don't know what it is, but the universe usually has different plans. You know.
Yeah, you know. I mean, the greatest thing about being an older actor and, you know, moving into just being a middle-aged actor, right, is one, the parts are juicy,
right.
But like if success comes and I really start to hit, I'm not spending a dime. You know, like I've got, you know, I got a house and I got a car and I don't really care about any of that other stuff. I mean, I don't need anything. Maybe buy a new pair of shoes. You know what I mean? It's like, it all comes down to, like, you know, of course we all want to live well and be well. And of course this business, you know, you're in the entertainment business. You can go from being broke to being a millionaire in a month, you know, but it does no good to all of a sudden start spending like a millionaire. Cause it's just, I don't know.
Then you'll be broke.
Some of my most successful friends remember, they happen to be famous or recognizable. They remember what it's like to be broke. And so they're just kind of frugal and they handle their finances great.
Yeah. Well, you have to, you know, you have to, things happen, man. And it can happen quick. You're right. Absolutely. You know, somebody that has nothing to do with you can, and especially these days in entertainment, you know, such and such just broke. So we're shelving all those projects now for the next 3 years.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, yeah, you know, something could happen in the cast of Too Old to Die Young and that thing can get shelved. You know, I mean, it's like, it's just how it goes, man. Just how it goes.
Just part of it. Well, I know I kept you a little longer than I had said, Chris, but I really, man, you're just fascinating to talk to. I could talk to you all day. But I know you got things to do, man. It's a Thursday in Hollywood. There's lunches to be had and, you know, all of that. And no, I'm kidding, but I'm sure you're busy.
Yeah, no, none of that's happening. I'm going to be finishing editing my script. I'm about 25 pages away from making sure every period is where it's supposed to be and every word spelled correctly. And then I'm probably going to give myself a nice pat on the back and pick up my daughter at school.
Nice. Nice. Well, best to her and everything and break away with the script and whatnot. Let me know when something goes on. Cause we'll have you on again, man. This is fantastic. I can't wait to see what you come up with. You know, who knows? Can you give us the general gist, genre gist of it?
Of the show I wrote?
Yeah.
It's in the vein of Curb Your Enthusiasm in the sense that we're playing versions of ourselves, right? So I've got myself and a few other actor friends of mine that are, you know, the show sort of centralizes around and it's just stupidity in the sense of, it's a little like Curb in that way, like the stupidity that can happen to us and how often I put my foot in my mouth and sometimes by accident and sometimes on purpose. It's just that. It's sort of like Curb Your Enthusiasm meets a show like Catastrophe or, it's more like, you know, the newer kind of comedies that are coming out, which is it's layered with, of course, comedy, but then there's some dark, real stuff going around it. You know what I mean? So
Right.
You know, it's like, I don't know if you could even say his name anymore, Louis C.K., but before he was bad, his show was one of my favorites. And
I do.
You know, I love that. Yeah, I love that show. And I loved how he just, I loved how, you know, you'd see an episode and there'd be a couple of jokes, but it was mostly that episode maybe was about him losing his kids on the subway. And
right.
I love that. And I think a lot of shows have sort of copycatted that, and I have myself. So that's where it's going. Hopefully it'll move to the next stage and we'll get this thing made.
Nice. Well, break a leg with that. And thank you again for taking time out of your schedule. I really appreciate it. And
absolutely, bro. Great meeting you.
You know, Chris, you
reach out to me too, man. If you ever want to talk stuff, I'm always up for it.
Absolutely. And you know this, and I'm just going to tell you anyway, keep doing what you're doing. You're real good at it. Real good.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate it. It's always nice to hear.
Awesome. Well, have a great one, and I will talk to you soon. And,
all right, man. You take care.
Awesome. That's going to wrap things up for us today, folks, on this Thursday afternoon here on the East Coast. This episode, of course, will be converted to a podcast and pushed out on all the various podcasting streaming platforms. We're on about 100 of them now, and also on all the social media platforms. So very, very cool, including on those podcasting streams, Apple Podcasts will be up for free on there. If you are listening to the show in the future, hello from the past, do me a quick favor. Hit that ratings and review. It keeps us up at the top of the page. And boy, does that come in handy when I'm talking to advertisers. So I appreciate that. You're helping me out, man. You're keeping the lights on here. That's fantastic. Cool. We will see everybody tomorrow. Have a great day.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.